Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:03 British Summer Time. Today is August 30th. This has been a day which has been rather rich in terms of news flow. Consumer confidence in the USA, the lowest since 2009. Consumer confidence in Europe, the lowest since December 2008. The Fed minutes came out today, and there was a little bit of disagreement at the FOMC meeting as to how much additional easing there should be, which gave the markets a little bit of headroom in which to rally. And the majority of markets were up in here today. That's also following on from quite a positive day yesterday. The majority of markets in Asia that were open, there was a number of Asian markets closed for the Eid holiday, were in positive territory. The Nikkei was up by over 1%, the Hang Seng by almost 2%, the ASX was relatively unchanged. Most of Europe had a very positive day yesterday. The FTSE 100 caught up today and was up 2.7%. The majority of the rest of Asia, of Europe, sorry, was up, but all less than about 1%. A couple of markets were in negative territory. The DAX, in particular, was down about 0.5%. And the DAX, having been the absolute and relative strength leader throughout the last 2.5 years, has had by far the largest correction among the major European stock markets, and took out is one of the few markets that took out its early August lows, and it's subsequently been rather unimpressive in terms of rallying. This was also a positive day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones closed just in the positive column. It's up 20, but that's following on from a good positive day yesterday. The S&P was up by just less than a quarter of 1%, and the Nasdaq by about half of 1%. The TSX in Canada was up over 1%, and so was Brazil. In the bond markets, US Treasuries were stronger by over 1.5 full points, back up to 138.12. The gilt market has probably fallen most among the major sovereigns, but it also found at least short-term support in here today and closed out the day in the region of 127.6. Gilts, I suppose, had probably accelerated more than others. Gilts had also taken out their 2008 peaks and then some. So it is perhaps less surprising that they've also had the bigger pullback among the major sovereigns. But again, gilts have found at least short-term support in here. Such has been the size of the reaction, though, that this is a major trend in consistency, and the market has definitely hit a near-term peak. It'll have to move, sustain a move to a new high to reassert the medium-term uptrend at this stage. The gold price was also quite a bit firmer in here today. It's up to 1838, up almost $50, having had a reasonably weak day yesterday. The oil price is also quite a bit firmer in here today. West Texas is up $1.40, up to 88.69, and Brent crude is up to 114. It's looking increasingly likely that it's going to go back up and retest that area of previous resistance around $120. Brent crude at $114 remains a headwind for the global economy. This was also a positive day for the majority of the commodity sector. Nickel was stronger by $450. The COMEX copper contract was stronger by 4 cents. It's continued to hold above the $4 area. It's been rather impressive in holding in this region for a good number of months at this stage, and that $4 area had been a previous area of resistance in that large Type 3 top formation that had formed before the big collapse in 2008. So it's proven a psychological area for the copper price, and copper prices have held up really rather well. In the grain and bean complex, wheat was a little bit weaker in here today. Corn is stronger by 5 cents. It's up to 775. Now the previous peak is in the region of $8. So it's rallied really quite impressively over the last couple of months, back up towards this $8 area. Soybeans was stronger by 10 in here today. It's back up to $14.57. Soybeans has been ranging for at least 6 months, and it's pushing back up towards the upper side of this range. It looks more likely than not that it's going to sustain a break to the upside. Rough rice has broken out of an almost 2-year base. It's been really quite steady above that base for the last 6 weeks. It looks more likely than not that we're going to see additional highs in rough rice. Rough rice, of course, is a staple food for more than half of the world's population. That is not welcome news in terms of the outlook for inflation and the outlook for monetary easing in Asia. This has been a positive day for most asset classes. Stock markets were perhaps not nearly as strong as the sovereigns and the gold market, but they did have a good day yesterday. We're seeing that consumer confidence continues to deteriorate. The likelihood of additional stimulus from the Fed has increased a little bit, but there are significant economic headwinds out there, and that is certainly remaining the case here. The fact that you have Brent crude continuing to push higher, that staple foods are firming in here, are definitely headwinds in terms of the global economy. If the Fed moves into another round of easing, then the chances are that that money isn't just going to stay in the USA. It's going to flow to the most attractive assets, which are predominantly in Asia. That is also not going to sit very well with the respective central banks there that are attempting to combat inflation. Wage pressures are already a factor in China. They're likely to become an increasingly important factor in much of the rest of Asia. The ability of those central banks to ease policy along with the Fed isn't nearly as much of a potential now as it was back in 2008. That could put additional upward pressure on their various currencies against the US dollar. The Asian dollar index has bounced back rather well in the last couple of weeks. It's a reasonably good indication of where money is flowing. Is it flowing into Asia or is it flowing out of Asia? And it would be the way it has performed is supportive of the fact that investors are continuing to look on Asia as the really better potential for the medium to longer term. What we have with the majority of Western stock markets is that they have all sustained large reactions against their prevailing trends. The vast majority of indices found at least short-term or near-term support on the 8th and 9th of August. A very small number have taken out those lows. The DAX is one of them, but has stabilized subsequently. Such has been the size of the reaction that most markets are oversold by just about any measure. There is still room for most markets to unwind that oversold condition. Whether that happens as a result of ranging or as the result of a more emphatic short covering rally remains to be seen. But what they still need to do is to push back up into their overhead ranges. And the only major market that has done that so far is the NASDAQ. NASDAQ 100 has pushed back up above the 2200 level. It's currently at 2227. It's going back up to test the lower side of the 200-day moving average, which has begun to turn downwards. If it can sustain a move above that, then that would be a very positive sign. Some of the leaders in the sector are in the NASDAQ, such as Amazon and Apple, have held above their 200-day moving averages. They remain towers of strength and totems for the cloud computing sector. But in the cloud computing sector, there are also a large number of other companies that have experienced significant technical deterioration. They have not been immune from the selling pressure that has taken place over the last month and more. And it does remain to be seen whether the Nasdaq is going to be able to sustain a move back above its 200-day moving average, and whether this whole pullback over the last month has been nothing other than an aberration for what had been previously really quite a consistent uptrend. And given the deterioration that we're seeing economically, in the absence of a fresh round of quantitative easing by the Fed, then the likelihood of stock markets being able to sustain pushes back up into their overhead trading ranges are, I think, relatively limited. So it does, I think, hinge to a certain extent on exactly what the Fed is likely to do, and we're not going to find that out for another month at the next FOMC meeting. In Europe, Greek spreads hit 1600 basis points last week. If that tells us anything, it's that the ECB is not buying Greek bonds. They threatened that they weren't going to accept Greek bonds as collateral in the event of a default, technical or otherwise. And the fact that we've had a contraction in the spreads for Irish, Portuguese, Spanish and Italian bonds, and not really for the Greek ones for any sustained period, suggests that the market is not looking on the way that the Europeans are handling this situation particularly favorably. And this is still a highly volatile situation and has still the potential to cause trouble. The passing of the EFSF deal by all of the European governments later in September is an absolute necessity. They are all talking about the need for Eurobonds, and Angela Merkel is saying that it's not necessary, but they're vitally necessary. They're certainly what the market wants. If the market doesn't get a substantive conclusion to the Eurozone crisis, then the potential for additional selling in here is really quite considerable. So we have to weigh the short-term potential for an additional unwinding of the oversold condition with the medium-term outlook that commodity prices are still too high. The sovereign debt crisis in the Eurozone is certainly not over. The housing market in all of the economies that became over-indebted in the last decade is still troublesome. And we're starting to see that consumer confidence is deteriorating and economic growth is far from impressing. The majority of Asian markets have been tightening policy. Inflation has not been tamed, and that's certainly evident in the commodity prices. It remains very much an open question as to whether the Chinese or the Indians or the Indonesians are going to be able to ease policy if needed. They certainly haven't shown any indication just yet that they're willing to do that. The Chinese raised the reserve requirements on their banks again yesterday, and I think they extended the types of loans that would be covered by that need for higher reserves. So they are continuing to tighten their market, and this remains a highly uncertain environment. So there isn't any a great need to rush in terms of stock market investors. When one looks at the gold price against this background, it's had a much larger reaction than we've seen in the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, reactions have been limited to between $100 and $120, and it's just had a $200 reaction. It's also bounced emphatically. So gold has hit a near-term peak. It's had two trend inconsistencies. The first was the acceleration away from the 200-day moving average. It's become more overextended on a percentage basis previously, but it almost equaled previous overextensions in 2006 and 2008. And it's also now had the bigger reaction. So this is a more high-risk environment from the perspective of a leveraged short-term trader. From the perspective of an unleveraged longer-term investor, gold remains very much within the confines of a secular bull market. We are entering a 10th year where gold will have put out a positive return. 10 consecutive years to the upside for gold. There's every reason to believe that 2012 will be an 11th year that gold will churn out another positive performance. But in the meantime, in the short term, gold has become considerably more volatile. The risk reward that is on offer has increased because it has lost some of that very short-term uptrend consistency. A pause and consolidation of its impressive gains over the last 2 months would be healthy for gold and would set it up for the next big move to the upside. One of the main consistency characteristics of gold in the last 7 or 8 years has been that it has broken upwards in odd-numbered years. So it broke upwards in 2001, 3, 5, 7, 9, and then 10, and then 11. So it's picking up pace. There's absolutely no question of that. And the latter stages of major bull markets are when you get really big moves in terms of price action. And we're starting to see that with gold. But whether that is going to happen in the short term is probably less likely at this stage. The fact that it has become so overextended relative to its trend mean would suggest that some ranging is probably the order of the day for the short term. That is, of course, predicated on the fact on the expectation that that stock markets do the same. If we see a continued deterioration on the economic front, which is reflected in other types of markets, that could help to bolster gold's appeal as a safe haven. In the current environment, gold, US Treasuries, and the US dollar have all firmed, and that is suggestive of safe haven appeal and the fact that investors are still in a heightened state of anxiety. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.